Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
We got the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. So happy to be here. Thank you to Matt Weiner. Just great NBA analysis. And, of course, he's got it all because he's on NBA TV, and he's fantastic.
We got some tweets, man.
Let's read it.
Stephen H. Town at Stucknut.
Yep.
Our buddy. Whoa, I won't allow Cardinals fans to bag on the Astros for cheating. Copy that, bro.
That's actually a great point. And I saw that coming. I saw that coming because I heard someone bang a trash can just down the hall. So I knew that curveball was coming our way.
RHB Troglotti. Mm-hmm. At Sklar Brothers Darts. You're talking darts for what? For who?
That's a good point.
Wow, bro. Why are you hating on darts, man?
Yeah, why are you hating on darts?
You're hating on people who have a projectile they can throw right at you with pinpoint accuracy.
By the way, that tweet hit the bullseye. Dear Sklars, I can't stand chewy. I like mine crispy. Regards, Charlie Weiss, frying up 20 pounds of bacon for a snack. Jeff and Lincoln. I want to just go back and watch any Notre Dame game. Charlie Weiss, the amount of distance between his belt and the crotch line is just... And the amount of body in there.
It's magic.
A lot of stomach below the belt is what I'm saying.
It's damn magic.
A lot of it below the belt. Well, I love talking basketball with experts. Matt Weiner, again, he's in it all the time. But then there are some people that surprise you.
With their knowledge.
With their knowledge of the NBA. And I was completely surprised when we found out that this man was such a huge NBA fan. And then he's come on our podcast several times to talk NBA. He is, of course, Academy Award-winning character actor, although he's been fantastic in whatever movie he's done. German or Austrian? I'm not sure. Actor Christoph Waltz has joined us on the phone right now. Christoph, how you doing, sir?
Sklars, it's so wonderful to be on here with you, and it's such an amazing time of year, celebrating the Yule, as well as you know, NBA slate on Christmas Day.
Oh, you're a big fan of the NBA slate on Christmas Day, right? You love this.
It is as American as apple pie. Yep. When I played Hans Landa in Inglourious Bastards, mm-hmm. in my trailer, mm-hmm. it was wall-to-wall posters of classic NBA guards from the 1980s.
Who is on your wall?
What guards are on the wall of your trailer?
I had a Glenn Rivers poster. Before he was Doc Rivers, he was Glenn Rivers with two M's. Yep. I also had a Sidney Moncrief.
Sure.
I love those Bucks and the three-tone jerseys old era.
Terry
the
Cummins.
Mecca. Mm-hmm. The Mecca was an amazing mm-hmm. place to see basketball.
Sure.
And beyond that, I had a Mark Price
Of course
poster.
You had a Mark Price, of course.
You remember those Sports Illustrated posters?
Sure.
Those are the ones that I cherish.
You cherish those and hung them up in your chair. Would people walk in and say, whose trailer is this? This can't be.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Tarantino, Quentin, I call him Quentin, that's his first name.
Yes.
He would come into the trailer and say, what am I looking at right now?
He doesn't understand.
Is that a Dominique Wilkins poster? And I would say, No, that's the low-hanging fruit. I have a Gerald Wilkins.
Oh, of course. You're with the – that just shows you. That separates the
– That draws the line.
It draws the line. And, of course, I wouldn't expect Tarantino to know – I mean, I would understand if he'd know his difference between Kurosawa films, but, like, the difference between a Gerald and a Dominique Wilkins for that man, he cannot even
– He understands the nuance absolutely between old films. He knows the difference between Fellini and Truffaut, and I know the difference between a Dolph Chase and a Danny Chase.
That's a very thin line to be able to describe. Well, I know your favorite player has landed on a team that is doing surprisingly well this year.
The Dallas Mavericks have Porzingis the Unicorn, and how do you feel? Has it turned you into a Mavericks fan?
Well, as you know, I'm a New York Knickerbockers fan, and this is a difficult time for
me. Very
difficult. It's not exactly where I'd like to be.
Oh, we're losing you. You might be going through some sort of a
German tunnel.
He might be going under a German, in a German, he might be in a bunker of sorts.
Can you hear me?
Now we got you. We got you back, Mr. Waltz.
I will saying that, you know, it's not exactly perfect to to, yes, it's not really perfect. The Knicks are going through a difficult time right
they
now.
Are.
It's the equivalent of trying to open a major motion picture, let's say, in the middle of September.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not perfect.
It's not
going to
happen.
They're not going to be playing the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Because of the Porzingis lineage, yeah. I am very much rooting for the Mavericks.
Are you a Luka Doncic fan? Do you like his? His game, Christoph Waltz?
What impresses you?
It's the overall vision of the court that I can't get enough of the way this guy sees the court.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, just the love of the game.
Yeah.
They talk about Larry Bird having his contract, the love of the game clause.
Yeah.
I'm going to rename it the Doncic clause.
Okay, so
no one is having more fun in the history of the game than Luka Doncic. He looks like his mom dropped him off at the gym one day and he woke up like the kid from the movie, Tom Hanks, in Big.
Yeah.
He woke up and, oh my, he's
in a big man's body. Yeah.
And then, boom, he's now an all-star.
He's an amazing player.
And that's a great story, especially for that team. He's been out for the last couple games, and they're still efficient. They're still playing well, according to Matt Weiner, who I'm sure you watch a lot of Matt Weiner on NBA
TV. I love Matt Weiner. Sure. I also have a Matt Weiner poster.
You do? I didn't know they made Matt Weiner.
Do they make Matt Weiner FedEx?
Yeah, I have a Matt Weiner. I have a 3D Dennis Scott poster.
3D poster.
Down the line. But listen, here's the thing. The Mavericks are having a renaissance, and people thought that they had tuned out Rick Carlisle and his militaristic approach to the game.
I know.
But as an Austro-German man, let me tell you something. Uh-huh. After a while, you need to listen to this kind of order.
Yeah.
And here's what's happening.
That's scaring me a little bit.
Jalen Brunson is having his basketball bar mitzvah this
year. He is, in many ways. He is
becoming
a man.
Well, we remembered when he dominated the college game with Villanova, and then here he is.
He kind of had an old man's game, a below the rim, I'm going to beat you in a rec league sort of a way. And he's the type of guy that in a rec league comes in wearing three knee braces, if that's possible. And everyone's like...
He wears three knee braces, but he's breaking ankles everywhere.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself, Crystal. Your basketball knowledge is
shocking.
Is encyclopedic. Well, can you at least give us, as we are in this sort of nascent season here, can you give us a prediction of who you think will be there standing at the end? And what can we see in the NBA Finals? Who do you think is going to be there?
I think I have a couple sleeper teams that nobody's talking about.
Let's do it.
Equivalent this year's Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
They could be the Toronto Raptors. They could be the Toronto Raptors.
This year's Toronto Raptors, exactly, is the Toronto Raptors.
There you go.
That's saying a lot.
It's saying a lot, and no one is talking about some of the... Listen, I think this Melo Anthony pickup for the Trailblazers is not going to put them in the finals, but I think you could see them in the final four of the West.
Wow.
McCollum and Lillard, they're just coming back and finding their rhythm. And
rounding into form.
They lost the guy, what's his name, Leonard, went to Miami.
Yeah, wow, this is very specific.
I think we're learning about just what he meant to the locker room.
Yeah, a lot of it is locker room politics.
Everyone is talking about the Lakers and the Clippers, but I think Kawhi is hurt, and I think LeBron is too focused on Bronny's games right now.
Wow, that's an interesting take.
And so I think what you could end up seeing here is some of these teams, the Denver Nuggets.
Sure.
Nobody's talking. This guy, Jokic, talk about a guy who looks like he plays at the rec league.
Yeah.
This man, he has Boris Diaw arms.
He does have Boris Diaw. So arms of a man 10 years older than him who has lost a significant amount of muscle.
I filmed Inglourious Bastards, and he has the arms of a overgrown Sam Levine.
Okay, got it. Great point. Great points all the way around. Well, I can't. So you think someone could sleep in it and slide in? Last question, because I know you follow the career of Jimmy Butler very closely and what he can do. Is this his renaissance with the Miami Heat? Is this a chance for him to prove to everybody how talented he is and how he is actually good for a locker room?
Jimmy Buckets is proving to the basketball world that Miami isn't just a party city. It's also a basketball city.
It's a mecca,
and he's
sure.
bringing them that intangible. Look, when I saw the Knicks sign 7 non-shooting power forwards in the offseason, I thought to myself, what teams are doing the right thing?
Right.
And Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley have done something very interesting here. And they got this kid, Duncan Robinson.
I was Michigan guy.
Mitchell Robinson, instead it's Duncan Robinson.
Sure,
who
great shooter.
Known? But he's a John Beilein product.
Yes.
And he's going to bring you the business.
That's what he is going to bring. The Christoph Waltz, your basketball knowledge is incredible. I wish you a wonderful Christmas, and I know you're going to be just hoops under the tree all day long watching the NBA with your family, but thank you for joining us on this show. We really appreciate it.
I always enjoy talking to you guys about hoops or anything. Please get cozy on the couch and bring some DiGiorno over, slice it up, and sit back, because it's going to be 12 hours of truly not very consequential basketball.
It is, indeed. Thank you.
There, Alvita Zane, thank you so much, Christoph Waltz.
Look
wow. Did you, I mean.
I didn't think he knew that much about.
His knowledge.
I mean, I've known, you can go down the line, he has knowledge of every team.
He really does.
Is that an effort of him to try and assimilate into American
culture? Well, remember
culture?
He did those commercials where he was like a Samsung. I thought it was a Samsung thing where on the 4th of July he's dressed in all red, white, and blue. And you figured he was adopting.
For the commercial, but I guess it's a real life.
I think it's a combination of the NBA becoming more global. You have a lot more European players playing here. But I just, it's amazing to me that that's where he is now. And
I love
that's
it.
Just brilliant stuff.
I love it.
Clones. When you're looking for protein or energy, what are you going to do to get it? You're not going to hit it with a bar or a sugary snack or an energy drink. No, you're not. You're going to hit it with beef, pure and simple. So where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your dad's jerky. It's not shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak, quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not rough. And Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business. They're known for their relentless commitment to quality. Everybody knows this about that family and that company. It's also known that they take their smoked beef extremely seriously. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So make sure you look for Old Trapper. It's in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
This is a time of year where you're not thinking about golf at all.
Right.
And yet, this past week, we got deep into golf with the President's Cup. I don't know how excited you were about that, but it just was fascinating to me.
I was into it because I feel like of the nation's competitions, of the World Against the United States competition, the President's Cup is the one we get. Ryder's Cup is the one that we just keep letting slip away as America.
So it is, it just, and this one was fantastic.
They had to snatch it from the jaws of defeat this time around, and it was Tiger Woods.
And it was, Tiger Woods was amazing. It was tense. So to break it all down with us, we invite in on the show, if he's on the line right now, and we've got him, Robert Lucetich.
Golf writer.
Fantastic golf writer, and he knows his stuff. We invite him onto the show right now. Robert, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, fellas, but nice to be here with a couple of famous people like you two.
Thank you. Sir, amazing coverage of the President's Cup. Do you feel like golf needs more events like this? I always feel like the President's Cup, the Ryder's Cup,
more team events,
energizes fans and the casual fan more than ever.
Yeah, it does. And also remember that, you know, it was a little bit of a perfect storm in that we had, in my view, one of the great venues.
Sure.
You know, like ballparks in baseball, you know, people will go on about, you know, how great it is at Fenway and how
sure.
great it is at
Wrigley.
You know, Wrigley.
Sure.
But ballparks aren't usually the star of any of the competition. But Royal Melbourne, in a lot of ways, is such a special place. It's very different from you know, the other places that typically you'll play on the US tour, and then on top of that, you know, let's not forget it's December,
mm-hmm.
The week before Christmas, and we're watching prime time, golf on prime time. You know, it's kind of a treat. You can sit there and it's not necessarily a nice day outside and watch some golf. And I think that so a lot of that contributed to it. But yes, I do agree with you that at the end of the year, I think the team competitions really are sort of special. And because we see these guys, they're independent contractors, you know,
right.
they're
exactly
they're out for themselves, you know, 51 weeks of the year, and this 1 week of the year they come together, and I think that's pretty cool. I would definitely agree. Certainly I think that the President's Cup needs a little bit more. I mean, frankly, it needs the internationals to win a few just to get it into the level of a Ryder Cup, which has obviously, you know, a lot more tradition, a lot more history.
Sure.
And on top of it, you know, the Europeans, as they did in Paris last year, just, you know, sort of fairly regularly give the Americans a bit of a spanking. So that always adds a bit. adds a bit of intrigue.
So in that way, you know, if you want to think of it on the President's Cup on its own or the Ryder's Cup on its own, that's one thing. But the President's Cup and the Ryder's Cup in context of each other. So this is the one the Americans win, and this is the one that the Europeans win. Then it suddenly becomes in the pantheon of these team sports and team competitions in golf. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, oh, for sure, absolutely. But that again, that said, I mean, this is all sort of inside baseball in a sense. But,
go for it.
The PGA Tour does not own any of the five biggest properties in the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very unique. The PGA Tour does not own any of the four majors, nor
right.
the Ryder Cup. And they are really the five biggest events in golf.
Yep.
So this was the PGA Tour's attempt, 20-odd years ago, to create a team competition that they could own. But I think that, you know, listening to Ernie Els when we were down in Melbourne last week, it was obvious to me that, you know, Ernie was basically saying, look, I don't know that we can ever make this a true international competition if both teams are owned by the PGA Tour.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Because obviously, in a sense, I think he thinks that the international team needs to have its own identity separate from the PGA Tour, and I would tend to agree.
So is there a way to open it up, or does it has to be that way just because the PGA owns it?
Well, I would say that it would have, you know, I don't see the PGA Tour suddenly,
giving that up.
Suddenly saying bye-bye to the
right.
to
President's
that.
Cup.
So, but it would be, you know, I think maybe an interesting thing if you took the professional tours of, let's say, the countries that represent the international team, Australia, South Africa, Japan, Korea, some of the South American nations, New Zealand, and you just created a little body and they did it themselves. And that, I think that would be cool because it would actually set aside the two teams a bit more and make it more of a team competition. But listen, the other bottom line to it all is that no matter, you know, what happens at the end of the day, the American team from 1 to 12 has just always been deeper than the international team, and that has really been the reason for the results. I mean, back in the day when you had Retief Goosen,
yep.
Ernie, Vijay Singh,
mm-hmm.
Adam Scott, those four could play with any four in the U.S. team and,
right.
and give them a very good run. But down at the bottom of the order, there were a lot of weaker players, and the U.S. had stronger players. And at the end of the day, one point's one point, no matter where you get it. So,
yep.
you know, that's probably more of an issue is I would say just having fewer matches and then the points become
more valuable.
So it's not as easy to get those cheaper points.
That's right. And so you have to game plan differently. Well,
were you surprised by how excited Tiger Woods was about the win? I mean, yes, he was his first year as the captain, but
youngest captain in history.
And it capped off an amazing year for him, but he showed a lot of emotion.
Yeah, he did. And I think he, you know, he obviously is evolving. You know, I mean, I think Tiger, when Tiger first, well, really, you know, up until maybe even 10 years ago,
that's right.
Tiger was about Tiger. And,
yep.
and you know, at some point, that's how it is when you get to the top of the tree.
Sure.
I think Michael Jordan would you know, was about
same
Michael
category.
Jordan. And,
yep.
and you have to have that level of selfishness because it is about you and it's about your excellence. And I think that as Tiger's gotten older, he's changed quite a bit and matured. And now I think he sees these things as part of his legacy much more than he used to. And he was indeed, you know, very happy. And And so he should have been. He put the whole thing together and he put the team together. He took, I will say, a huge, huge gamble, I thought, with Patrick Reed. Especially the week before with Patrick Reed being caught cheating and being a little bit slippery about his explanation of how he was cheating.
Yeah.
I thought that, I was very interested to see how Tiger would handle Patrick Reed.
Right.
And he responded in a way in which I probably thought he would, and that is by doubling down. So every time somebody said, Patrick Reed, terrible, how can you do this? Tiger just put him back in the lineup.
I mean,
he kept putting him back in the lineup.
He did one thing that Patrick Reed's family wouldn't, which is stand by him.
Stuck by him.
I mean, the idea that Patrick Reed literally, again, when he sunk that putt and then mimed digging out of it's sort of giving it back to the fans, mimed digging out almost in self-awareness of what he did. What was that moment? How does Tiger double down on that moment? Does he love it?
It's really amazing. I mean, Patrick Reed is a pretty tone-deaf kind of character. And,
yep.
And definitely a prickly sort of fella.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an accident that he plays every practice round at every tournament by himself, him and his caddy. So, not exactly. I don't know how many people are have him on their Christmas card list,
but is it good for the game? You got 150 other guys on a tour that are really likable guys. Is it good to have one guy stand out and to have sort of not a golf villain? I won't go that far, but to say somebody that people show up to see because they want to see him,
against him.
Yeah,
yeah, and absolutely, and well. I mean, you don't have to back down from that. I mean, he is golf's villain.
Yeah,
right now, yes.
And I don't think that I really just don't think that he cares. He was.
He does not care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care because if he cared, he certainly wouldn't have been mocking the crowd.
That's right.
One thing about golf that really separates it from other sports is that there's no umpire. So, if you're flopping in the NBA or in soccer, you take a dive. You're not supposed to do it, but if you earn your team a penalty. Then secretly everyone's giving you a pat on the back,
right?
And saying good job for conning the referee.
That's right.
But in golf, you are the referee.
That's
and
right.
So you're expected to do the right thing. It's not the famous Bobby Jones quote about you're giving me a medal because I didn't rob a bank.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to call a penalty because that's my job. I'm a player, but I also need to obey the rules. And it's clear to me, as someone who's played a lot of golf in my time, the only reason that you would use a wedge when you've got a semi-buried lie in a bunker, even though it was a waste area as they had at the Bahamas there at Tiger's tournament, the only reason you would do that is to try and smooth out
your
approach. And I mean, it's obvious, it's like it's not even why are you taking a practice swing? You don't need a practice swing. You got a crappy lie, and you got a
blast
fried
it
egg
out.
In there.
You just blast do your best. Out. Just do your best to get it out of there. That's all you can
exactly.
do.
And you certainly don't need to take a couple practice swings, which, oh by the way, happened to smooth out the sand behind it. I mean, it's very poor. I tell you what, he lucked out because the following week was a team event. I think if the following week was a regular tour event,
he would have got.
We would have heard a bit more.
Yep.
People talk a bit more about it, and I don't think a lot of his. I don't think a lot of his peers would have been so happy with him.
I'm sure not. Thank you so much, Robert Lucetich. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck to you. Follow him on Twitter, Robert Lucetich. Great stuff about golf. Great coverage of it. We'll follow you, and we really appreciate you being on the show.
You got it, guys. Merry Christmas.
If you're an NFL player, if you're a premier NFL player, you got to deal with a lot.
Yeah, sure.
One thing you don't want to be dealing with is your dad making massive mistakes.
We talked about this at the top of the show. We'll reset it right now. Ezekiel Elliott's father.
His weird dad was being weird.
His weird dad was being weird.
And it's kind of a window into the personality of Zeke Elliott.
And you say to yourself, okay, I can understand some of the things that Zeke does because maybe the apple doesn't fall that far from the tree.
Stacy Elliott facing 21 charges. And I wonder if it was...
They went to he probably had 20 charges, and someone's like, let's trump another one up on this guy so we can make it Zeke's number. 21.
21 charges, by the way, my favorite Katherine Heigl movie.
It
21
is.
21 charges.
First time Katherine Heigl has ever been mentioned on the Jim Rome show.
On any sports talk radio.
And it will be the last.
So 21 charges for illegally owning an African serval cat. Serval cat.
I got 21 charges and a cheetah ain't one.
It's basically a Shetland cheetah or a mountain lion.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Owned it, then released it
in the neighborhood.
For some dumb reason in his Columbus neighborhood. And then, of course,
the cat killed a dog.
I don't know if it killed it. It attacked a dog. Attacked, I think the dog's
dog.
Okay.
Dog might be okay. But.
So a predatory cat did what predatory cats do.
You don't hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott and hope that he throws it to a wide receiver. No, you hand the ball off to him and say, go get me 5 yards by falling forward.
And I bet you that cat people, somewhere there are cat people who are like, good. I'm glad he attacked
I'm glad him. He attacked a dog.
And we said this before. The cat-dog debate, we can settle it right now. I'll settle
it's
right now.
It's not an old debate. We'll just sell it right here for you right now.
What is the best thing anyone has ever said about a cat?
He's like a dog.
He's like a dog.
He comes when you call him.
He
does tricks. He knows his name.
He lets you pet him.
So basically what you're saying is the best cat in the world is a mediocre dog.
That's what you're saying.
That's literally what you're saying about a cat.
By the way, it doesn't go the other way. No one's ever like, you got to meet my dog. He's exactly like a cat.
Cat dog.
It's a cat dog.
Cat dog. He...
You haven't seen... He hasn't...
No one's seen him for 8 years because someone jostled the cabinet door too loudly and he's just under the bed, I guess.
Yeah. I saw him take a swipe at a baby for no reason.
Yeah. Baby didn't do anything. Just swiped at him. Baby was laying on its back and just...
That's cat a dog. Cat dog.
You got to see him. He's awesome.
And by the way, we're not coming down on cat owners. Cat owners are fine. It's cat people that need to be put to sleep.
That's right.
If you're a cat person...
Get it.
If you're putting makeup on a cat Q-tip,
and putting it in Civil War garb,
then you need to reevaluate
a lot of things. Reevaluate a lot of things.
And by the way, we're not dog people are doing their best to try to enter this debate and lose this debate.
Yeah, something has happened in the last several years, in the last couple of years, that we've crossed a threshold in terms of the dogness of this world where you can bring dogs everywhere. I'm surprised there aren't 5 dogs running around this studio right now.
Yeah, this could be a dog run, and I'm sure that would happen.
Like, you can bring your dogs anywhere. And there wasn't even, like, a revolutionary moment where, like, December 13th, 2015.
There was a Rosa Parks moment.
There wasn't even a Rosa Barks moment.
Thank you for having the confidence to say that,
Randy. The guts to say it on national TV. There wasn't even that.
And yet, all of a sudden now...
You can bring your dog anywhere. Like, there used to be a time if you walked your dog too close to a restaurant, the owner could come out and put it down.
Yeah, could shoot it.
Because you're like, hey, we have an A rating, and now just because you walked too close... Now you can bring your dog...
In a Bjorn...
Through a salad bar. Just let it drool on the garbanzo beans.
And if someone looks at you, then they're the jerk. They're the D-bag.
Jay and I were at a diner in San Francisco, late night burger place. This little small little hole-in-the-wall place. This guy walks in a kimono. We were both like, Steven Seagal. Then he ordered 2 cheeseburgers. We're like, it is Steven Seagal. Anyway, so he...
Karate.
Karate.
He's just a fat...
Anyway, so he... the guy came in and he set his dog down. He set it down on the
counter
next to our food. And it was like breathing on our food. And
we
looked
at the guy, at the guy who was behind the bar.
And he gave us a look like, I'm going to wrap your food up and you can leave. So that would be the insult.
I'm like, okay, so the dog's allowed to breathe on my french fries, and then as a reward, you're going to give me a doggy bag?
We get
and say, get out of here?
That's ridiculous.
Look, I don't want to go to Chipotle and get kennel cough.
No, I want to go to Chipotle and get diarrhea the way God and Chipotle intended.
It's a slippery slope. That's all we're saying.
It's a slippery slope. Yep.
Like, you're going to be out. You're going to be getting an elective surgery.
And you're going to be like,
going under.
Going under the anesthesia. You'll hear the doctor turn and say, scalpel. And then look down at the ground and be like, drop it.
Who's a good little nurse?
Dental technician.
I'm going to take you through a salad bar. Yes, I am.
So don't own a serval cat is what we're saying. Let's get back to Ezekiel Elliott's dad.
So he owns a serval cat. He releases it into the neighborhood. And then they have to shoot and kill the cat.
Mm-hmm.
They have to shoot the cat.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you brought into
the
situation.
You brought that on the cat, too. Like, that. There's a cat that's no longer here.
No one needs that. You do not need a serval cat in Columbus, Ohio. You don't need it.
Didn't you go down the rabbit hole and see, like, people have...
I was looking at images of people with these serval cats, and they've got the cat up on their shoulders, you know, eating food out of their mouths like a little kid, like, hey, it's okay.
It's not okay.
It's not. The woman these who owned... Woman, if you type into Google woman who had face.
If you just type in woman who had face.
Woman who had, I think, is all it is.
It says, Google will complete that sentence with face ripped off
by chimp. She thought I can have a monkey.
I can have a monkey.
You cannot.
You cannot have a monkey.
And look, I know that We Bought a Zoo happened in Ohio.
Yep.
Stacy Elliott. You don't have to recreate it
in Ohio. That's a movie. That's a, I mean, yes, it was based on a real event, but still, you don't have to own a zoo.
This goes back to what we said about if you're a superstar athlete, Ezekiel Elliott, you got to have a meeting with everyone in your life. Mom, dad, boyfriend of mom, cousins, uncle who wants to be involved in your life. And you need to say, look,
here, no exotic pets.
You don't do this.
If
you want money from me,
if you want to be on the payroll, there's curfew. You can't
fall asleep in a public fountain. You can't go buy a serval cat and let it go free. You can't sell cocaine out of a bread truck. This is my life you're messing with.
Exactly.
It's going to reflect back on you. It's like a serval cat. When you are a star and you are the star, you're like a serval cat. And your family's like the serval cat. Really, when you're the star, your family is like a serval cat. You got to keep it under wraps. You got to keep that cat with you. Or else you got
to
keep it under wraps.
Also, like, is this the type of thing Ezekiel Elliott wants to be dealing with? He is trying to lead his team to 8-8 to clinch that division. He is working his hardest to make the Cowboys.
Now he's got to answer questions about a loose serval cat.
About a loose cat in his dad's neighborhood. That's the last thing. You talk about distractions. That's the last thing you want to be talking about. You want to be talking about how your team is going to, at a mediocre level, capture their division.
Right. That's all you got.
You got to talk about how your team may go to the playoffs. If they're lucky enough to go to the playoffs, will lose a home game in the first round.
Yeah.
That's what you should be focusing on, not did your dad let a mountain lion out in his gated community.
You know, and here's a guy who moved to Columbus. He became a coach of Ohio State, like left St. Louis, which is where the guy's from,
mm-hmm.
and re-uprooted his life.
Supported Zach Smith when nobody else would. So, okay, like that decision, like we have in our stand-up comedy, like the joke at the beginning of our set that says, if you guys get this, you're going to love the rest of this. So that should have told you, this guy's probably going to let a wild cat loose in his neighborhood.
Yeah, look what's coming.
He's making decisions that aren't right with the, this is not the way it should do. And again, it just feels like he's like, well, Zeke's my son. I can do whatever I want, right?
We earned this, right? We earned this. You didn't earn it. You can't have a serval cat. Don't do it. Go visit a cat. Go visit. You want to go to a petting zoo that has cats? Go do that.
Don't do that.
Please, for the love of God.
I do like the people that bring their exotic pets on their errands with them.
Yeah, our buddy Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins, great comedian, once said, you know,
maybe it doesn't.
Maybe your parrot doesn't want to go to the post office with you. You know what I mean? Maybe your gecko doesn't want to go to Costco and get a pallet of, you know, toilet paper and a couple of pairs of pants and a flat screen TV.
Mike in Buffalo at Sklar Brothers. I never took a helmet to the head, Antonio C. No, he didn't.
He didn't.
He did not.
He never took a helmet to the head.
No.
That's a good point. That's actually a great point. 800-636-8686. I am sad that Connor has not called in. Is it Connor?
I think it's Connor.
No, Connor.
Oh, it's Connor.
Okay.
It's Connor. C-O-N-N-O-R.
Connor.
C-O-N-N-O-R.
It's Connor. C-O-N-N-O-R.
That's Connor. Any way you slice
no,
it.
No, Connor.
There is no way you can tell me that that's not Connor.
Do you want my take or what?
Oh, God. Okay. At that point, I encourage everyone to look up, and I think it's, what is it, Connor Ralph?
Yeah.
I don't know. Look him up.
It's Connor. C-O-N-N-O-R.
It's Connor Ralph.
No, Connor.
And he's a football player. He's the biggest dude you've ever seen. Not the biggest dude you've ever seen.
He's a linebacker.
He's not like a kicker. He's a big dude, and that was the voice that came out. The puberty-cracking voice of, do you want my take or what?
Do you want my take or what?
That guy is out just hitting fools.
Like lighting people up.
Lighting people up, busting through the line like a Canadian Dick Butkus. And that guy sounds like that.
It's Connor. C-O-N-N-O-R.
Unreal.
I'm sad that he's not here.
Good night now!